Blog Talk Radio.
All Fan Sports Radio. Radio uncensored. For fans. By fans.
It's the only show that's Naga approved. It's the Beating Drum with your host, Farmer and Paso.
What is going on? The Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com. As that man right there said, I am Farmer with my co-host, Paso, who just came running in the studio like 1 minute ago. What's going on, Paso? How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, literally like 1 minute ago. It's been a long day for me.
Yeah, long day of sitting in front of a computer screen, you know, and a conference, huh, Paso?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was doing all day from this morning.
Must be nice. I'm actually working on my first sunburn of the year over here in Washington State. You can already tell. Yeah, it's I'm going to be definitely a red lobster for probably about this evening, and then it'll brown right up on me. I usually only burn once, if that, but yeah, it's 75 degrees today, Paso, and she'll be right around about 85 tomorrow. So I know you over there in Chi-Town, you're going to be flipping me off as you are right now through the monitor, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem, dude. You know, it's 35 here, and it's a long time from sunburn weather in Chicago. Even though Italians don't really sunburn, we don't have that issue.
Right.
So.
Right.
I don't know what that's like.
Well, you know, it's really not a sunburn. I just turned red. So, you know, kind of, you know, me being a Native American, I turn red and then brown. It's like that, you know, it's just that quick. So it's just one of them things for me, Paso, and then I like brown up like a marshmallow, I guess, would be the best analogy.
Yeah, you've seen pictures of me, how dark I get. Yeah. I get pretty scary dark. It's
Yeah, no, I was like, who is this African American male that's hugging, you know, Paso's wife? And I'm like, oh, I guess that's Paso.
Yeah, I really do get that dark. It is, it's hilarious, but I like it, you know. I like having that kind of skin that, you know, gets nice and deep, dark looking, you know. It's, I don't know, something that's
right?
Part of me, and I enjoy it.
Most definitely. It looks like in those pictures you were definitely a little bit thinner, a little bit more chiseled than you are now. You must, you know, you probably should get back in the gym, you know, instead of being in front of your computer screen and watching seminars, sir.
Well, you know, that being in front of my computer screen is called my work. So, you know, I was actually doing my work, and I haven't left the gym. I have slacked off a little bit, and, you know, my eating habits are worse. So it's just one of those periods in time, you know. Last 8 years of my life have been very strict and adamant about a lot of exercise and proper eating. And I slacked
right.
off for, like, the last 6 months, so. You know,
I call that a midlife crisis. That's what I call that one, a midlife crisis.
It could be. It could go right along with a midlife crisis. I mean, I am at that midlife point, so it might
be
that.
You definitely are. You know what, guys? I want to thank each and every one of you who have liked our Facebook page. There's over 1,200 of you. and it seems to be growing like wildfire. If you're not part of our Facebook family, our Facebook group, definitely go in your search bar, search it up. We're called The Beating Drum. Give us our like and follow what we're doing. There's currently a poll that is on that page that the radio AFS management staff put that together for the Beating Drum, and they want to see, you know, what's going on and everything else like that. Definitely check out that poll. It does say, do you think that the Native American imagery affects Native Americans? Yes or no? So definitely do that, Paso. Have you understand you've been in front of your computer. Have you pressed yes or no on that yet, Paso?
I was the second one to vote. You were the first one, and I also put it on the Paso Garage page, my wall, and I put it on Steve's wall. I put it all over the place. So
yeah. You know, there is close to right around, I believe, 5,000 people who have viewed that particular poll. And right now, this was right around about a half hour ago when I did take a look at it. 3% of people say that, yes, it is harmful to Native Americans. And then the 97, right, Paso, my math, yes, 97% of them have voted no, it does not harm Native American people. So right there, you know, it's been just already proven. So it's definitely very awesome to see that. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can follow myself, FarmerJacob98. You can follow my co-host at the Paso Garage. You can follow our phone girl slash producer here on this show. She's on not really vacation. She's on family issues. So we wish her and her family the best in these trying times. And you can follow her at NorCal Niner Girl. And then we did add another new member to our family, Paso. And that person is Steve, who is a member of Naga. He is now our social media director. So the Beating Drum family is definitely growing.
Yeah, it is. And we welcome Steve aboard. He's a great guy. He's been doing a lot of work for the show and contributing. So, you know, we really appreciate all you do, Steve. And he'll be with us shortly, right?
Yeah, he definitely is. I just activated his mic so that he could say hi to everyone before we get to Chief Brown. Steve?
Oh, is that where I come in?
There you
yeah,
go,
man,
buddy.
I'm here.
Welcome. Hey, you know, this whole radio thing is definitely something new for you, and you're like, where do I talk? How do I talk? Just chill, relax, and have fun, and definitely go with the flow.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, I want to welcome you to the Beating Drum staff, and I've already seen great things from you in the social media marketing. You have skyrocketed our outreach higher than where it has been. So I thank you, sir.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure. Thanks for letting me be a part of this.
Hey, you're very welcome. So, guys,
and I want to correct you really quick, Farmer. Really quick, I just want to correct you. It's actually 98%. 98% do not feel that it's offensive, and only 2% feel that it is. So,
wow.
I just wanted to correct you.
No, hey, I appreciate, you know, that extra percent is huge. But you know what, guys, we have an awesome show lined up. We have Chief Walt Redhawk of the Chiranaca, Nottoway Indian Tribe. He's going to be talking about this tragedy that happened there on their sacred land, their sacred ground, the 100-acre of land. Once it was taken away from them, but they did get the land back. And then about a month ago or so, I'm sure Chief Brown will will correct me if these dates are wrong. But I want to say it was about a month ago or so that some people, I wanted to say some other words to characterize these people, but I'm trying to be on a very professional level. They burned down these sacred village, and so, you know, it does take money to recreate what was actually burned down. So they do have a GoFundMe account that is actually posted on the Beating Drum page. It's for a great cause, ladies and gentlemen, to donate to actually get this back to where it once was. So without hesitation, I do have Chief Brown with us live on the Beating Drum. Chief Brown, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And thank you very much for having me on the Beating Drum.
Oh, you're very welcome. How bad did I butcher the name?
Well, the true name of my people is Chironhaka. It's spelled Chironhaka. Unfortunately, the name Nottoway, which went down into colonial history as the true name of my people, is a derogatory name that was given to us by the Algonquin speakers of the Powhatan Confederation. It means snake, it means adder, and it means enemy. But the true name of my people is Chironhaka, which means people at the fork of the stream, because our villages were located in the fork where the Nottoway River is. In our language, we say Onos Chioki Joki, and the Blackwater River, where they come together to form the Shawan. So we have a very rich heritage here in Southampton County, Virginia. And I heard you mention about the 100 acres of tribal land that we have, which used to be 41,000 acres of reservation land granted by the House of Burgess in 1705.
Jeez.
And I'm proud to say that tomorrow at 10:30, we will be getting another 155.74 acres, which will give us
there
a total of 255
nice.
Acres of land.
It is a step in the right direction, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And what's so great about this is that this particular piece of property, 2,000 foot of it, butts the Nottoway River, which is a scenic river here in Virginia. And we're going to be able to launch canoes, kayaking, et cetera. Beautiful walking trails and hiking trails. We're going to be doing Native American ceremonies with our water drum on the bank of the Nottoway River. And in case you haven't guessed, we are Iroquois speakers. We're not Algonquin nor we Lenape, but we are Iroquois speakers. So we do water drum ceremonies with our water drum. And we sang in our native tongue and asked the Creator to bless the river, bless the life therein, bless the trees, bless the forest, etc. So, and I might also add, I heard you mention about the village. We have a palisade village on our 100 acres of land. It constitutes about 2.6 acres, which is a replica or a facsimile of the Iroquois village that William Byrd II of Westover wrote about when he came to our village here in what is now Southampton County, Virginia, on April the 8th, 1728. So we put that village back up. And it's so interesting that the Palisade Fort, as he described it, was not round. It was square with the poles 10 foot high, pointed at the top and leaning outward to prevent scaling. And we have our Iroquois Three Sisters Garden. We have the Iroquois Threshing Booth where the corn is threshed, etc. But unfortunately, all the time and labor that we put into this 3 years ago, our village was vandalized about a month ago. And we do bark cover, and we also have, we use palm mats also. There were about 100 mats that were ripped off and cut up. Looks like a machete may have cut it up and destroyed. And those mats are like $49.95 apiece. And we're trying to get enough money to get 100 mats so we can put them back up. That's $5,000 in damage, not counting the palisade posts that they broke and pushed over. You know, it's just crazy. Why someone would do that, I do not know. To go out on somebody's sacred land and
definitely. So why, you know, we definitely want to rebuild that, and I know Naga has definitely stepped up and did a donation for you. And
we appreciate that.
And I've seen, you know, numerous of other places that have also donated. It's been on the Beating Drum. Now, tell people why they should donate to this GoFundMe account.
Well, the purpose of the fund is to actually get the materials so we can rebuild the village. We have a permanent scales gallery that's scheduled for May the 21st, and we're hoping to have the village back up. This is a living village. Whenever we have our powwows, We do two American Indian powwows a year. We do a Green Corn Dance powwow, which is always the fourth Saturday of July when the Three Sisters Garden is in bloom. And then we do a Corn Harvest powwow, which is in the fall. It's always the second weekend of November. Preceding that, we have a school day. And the school day, normally between 1,000 and 1,500 kids come out from the different schools in the areas. And they get a chance to actually go through Catasauqua Town. That's our village. And at that time, the village is a living village. We have people in our tribe that are there in full native dress, beating, grinding corn, making baskets, etc. So we are in dire need to get this back up, because normally this village opens every May, Friday and Saturday, for the general public to come through. And now it's closed because it's been demolished. So
Definitely. And how much press has your tribe been given, you know, there locally, and what's being done to capture these particular people that have
vandalized such sacred ground? Yeah, we had the sheriff's department out there, and they took three sets of footprints. All of them were tennis shoes. Some appeared to be adults. Some appeared to be teenagers. But we have no idea who vandalized the village. However, the sheriff's department here in Southampton County is investigating it. Hopefully they'll find someone. One of the things that we're planning on doing, we're going to put up some wildlife cameras to try to catch the culprit. We're probably going to try to do it again.
Yeah. Has there been any other vandalism besides this, or is this the first
This is the first serious vandalism. What had happened before last year in our Iroquoian longhouse, someone had gone out there and was using it as a blind. They had taken some of the mats on the side and rolled it up. And you can see where they had been sitting there, and they were using it as a blind, because we have a lot of turkeys on our tribal land, to include deer. They were probably out there turkey hunting. Now, we have a gate on the front. We keep it locked, but that goes down Catasauqua Trail, which is probably about a quarter mile before you get to the 10-acre powwow ground. But you can take a four-wheeler and go around that. Or you can walk down further up called Old Bridge Road and come around the edge of the woods, and you can go back there also. So It's one of the things we're trying to do. Eventually, we're going to have enough money to put a caretaker's cabin in the area and have someone out there 24/7.
Definitely.
We're in the process of bringing electricity to the 10-acre powwow ground, not to the village, because the village is authentic. It's an epihistoric village. We don't want anything out there that's modern. So, but on our 10-acre powwow ground, we're going to be bringing electricity out there, probably going to be just before the July powwow. So that particular area will be lighted.
That right there is awesome. And you brought up, oops, sorry, I got a squeaky chair. I need to put some WD-40 on there. I apologize. But, you know, you brought up, you know, the powwow and everything else like that. I want to get your opinion on this, Chief. The dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, described the powwow as where Native Americans go to create magic. If you could say something to dictionary.com, and we're not being paid by Dictionary or anything else like that, but what would you tell dictionary.com about that particular definition, sir?
You need to take and burn it. What they need to do, because it's clear they do not understand the traditions and the culture of First People. It's clear. I mean, a powwow is not where Native people create magic. It's a place where we gather together and we worship the Creator. I mean, the sound of the drum in our powwows is beating out the heartbeat of the nation. That's what the drum is doing, and it's not a show. It's a worship of the Creator. In our language, we say Kwekahante, which means Creator in our Iroquoian language. That's why we do powwows, and that's why we have friends of other tribes come together. We meet and greet, we make friendship, etc. That's what it's all about. And
definitely.
For Webster's Dictionary to say it's a place where Native people create magic is crazy, and it really reflects the mentality of the colonial side of the house for even having to print such a misnomer.
I agree with you. It just kind of makes, you know, dictionary.com, you know, because they are also the people that say, you know, the Redskins are the scalps of Native Americans and everything else like that, which we both know is not true. so it really makes, you know, the dictionary laughable now. So I don't even know why we have a dictionary.com if they're not going to produce factual information regarding certain words.
But first of all, you have to look at who's pushing that. I mean, who and where is the driver? I'm quite sure it's not first people. It's just like the name Redskin as an example. Okay, when I start with Women Mary first. When the powers that be got involved to get rid of the two fellas at Women Mary, they forgot about the history of Women Mary. In 1697, Provisional Lieutenant Governor Alexander Spotswich started the first school for first people on the campus of Women Mary. It was called the Brafferton. And our people, our chief men's sons, were taken there, and they were taught, based on his writings, Christianity, English, and math. And when you look at some of the theses that have been done at Women Mary, one of which is so great a work, you receive that our people, the Chiranhaka Nottoway Indians, were on the rolls there all the way up until the 1780s. So we say that the tribe and the two feathers should stay because it is a reflection of the history of our people. The Pamunkey, the Mattapani, and the Chiranhaka Nottoway and other tribes in Virginia were there also, those that were tributary to the crown at that time. So people don't understand history associated with things that relate to first American people, and that's what the problem is. And, mm-hmm. and it's up to us as first people to share and let them know the true history. It's just like the true history of the Redskins. I mean, it's just crazy.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, the thing is when these people and they are first American, Native Americans that are actually trying to remove, you know, the Washington Redskins. And what would you say to those people that are trying to erase yours and my history and their history?
Well, I would say to them that you need to open up some books and find the true story, the true history of the name Redskins. That's what you
mm-hmm.
need to do. It's clear that those individuals that would like to fight against us, they don't understand the history. And not only do they not understand the history, they don't respect the ethnohistory of our people, and that's the problem.
Right.
You know, you can't tell me. My father used to say to me, "So you can't tell me how far you have to go unless you can tell me from whence you came. If you can't tell me from which you came in your culture, your traditions, and your history, then you cannot tell me how far you have to go." We have a lot of Native people that have no idea whatsoever about their culture and their traditions as it applies to the true history of Native people, and that's what one of the main problems.
Or even their native tongue, you know, or you know, most, I wouldn't say all, but I would say a vast majority don't even, you know, they don't even know what their native tongue is either.
Well, true. You're exactly right. But we're very fortunate that in March the 4th, 1820, a former professor of mathematics at Women Mary College came to our reservation land here in Southampton County, Virginia, sat down with my fifth foster great-grandmother, whose name was Wane Runtira, but her name, she was given a colonial name on the 1808 special Chiranhaka Nottoway Indian census that was done here, and he actually recorded the vocabulary of our people. That vocabulary was purchased by Thomas Jefferson in August of 1820, and he thought we were Algonquin speakers of the Powhatan Confederation, he thought we were Lenape, and he sent it to a student of Indian languages in Philadelphia by the name of Peter de Poncier. And luckily for us, there are three letters of interchange between Peter de Poncier and Thomas Jefferson, where Peter de Poncier told Jefferson that unequivocally they are not Algonquin, they are not Lenape, that this dialect is Iroquois. It is a mixed dialect of the Six Nations, particularly the Mohawk and Onondaga and the Tuscarora. So were it not for that, the Algonquin speakers here in Virginia would have taken our language and said it was theirs. So we're very fortunate that because he sent it to Peter de Poncier, that language is on file this very day at the Philadelphia Institute of Religion in Pennsylvania. So
the creator has
blessed us, my history, you take away my traditions, you take my language, you take away my culture. So we have our language. Our language is intact. We do a word a week to all of our tribal members and our tribal children. We're in the process now of doing a spoken language CD so they can have that. So we are very fortunate that we have this. Now, Thomas Jefferson had access to a lot of other native languages in Virginia. but according to his writings, they were all lost during his second presidency. So the Creator has blessed us in that sense that our language is still on file and still intact, and that we have seven speakers in our tribe, of which I'm one of them.
Wow. And how many people are in your tribe that are learning this language?
We have a total of 425 adults, men, women, and children in our tribe, all of which can trace their genealogy back to an ethno-historic Chernhock and Ottawa Indian surname. And it makes it easier for us because we're the only tribe in the state of Virginia that ever had a gubernatorial mandated census where actual names were given to our people. The only other census that was done of Native people was done in 1669, and all they did was count noses. And during that time, Smoot and Smith had reflected in their writings that there were 1,500 Chernhock and Ottawa. And the way what they did, they constituted the warriors in the tribe by multiplying that times three. But there were no names given to the people in 1669, only a number of the designated tribes. But in 1808, an actual census was done here in Southampton County where the trustees, of course, were white. These always ran the reservation. Trustees were always the ones that got the money from the government. Of course, none of the tribal people got it. All they were fed was rum. That was it. Well, they tried to say we were rum heads. But anyway, but it's amazing.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm definitely not laughing at you.
But it's true what I'm saying.
yes, sir.
Yeah, but everybody in our tribe can do an ethnohistoric streamline to a documented Chernhock and Ottawa Indian surname. And what makes it so easy for us is that we have the census, but we also have 122 deeds of the 41,000 acres of reservation land that was, quote, unquote, sold off. In some cases, it was not sold. It was basically taken from my perspective. But the actual chief men's names are on those deeds, and they're marked. But what's so interesting about that, a chief or a chief man's mark never changes, okay? The very first deed that was let in August of 1735, after the Commonwealth of Virginia relieved or fired the two interpreters of our tribe, who was Henry Briggs and Thomas Wynne, because they said that the Chernhock and Ottawa could speak good enough English to understand a legal document. And then they took a deep breath and said, well, they are illiterate because they cannot read nor write. So the very first deed, if you look at it and do a comparison, you would see the actual marks of the king, because the chief at that time was the king, and the rest of the people, council members, etc., were called chief men. So you look at their marks, and then you compare their first marks to the first deeds, to the rest of the deeds, they all change, because the scribes were actually writing the deeds and making the marks, okay, not the tribal people. And that's how the land disappeared from 41,000 of reservation land from 1735. The last piece disappeared in 1877. And then in 2009, we reclaimed 100 acres of that. And
so
now we're in the process of picking up another 155. I'm sorry?
How can we get that back, Chief? It was legally stolen from you by the government or by whoever now owns the land. How does one now go about getting the land back, because it's rightfully yours? You have documented proof.
Either it's like we're doing now, either through purchase or donation. What's so interesting about that is that the federal government in 1790 coined this act called the Indian Non-Intercourse Act, which basically said no Indian could sell land to a white person, and no white person could buy land from an Indian only if the federal government intervened, because they had come to realize that the states were taking the land. I mean, the majority of the people that bought the land were either in the House of Delegates or they were in the Senate. I mean, you look at that trail, that's what you see. Those were individuals on the power level. So what happened was in 1823, William Bozeman, whose name on the census was Billy Whitson, his mother was Nancy Whitson, who was Chernhock and Ottawa, and his father was white by the name of Michael Bozeman, supposedly changed his name in 1823 and filed this legal brief to the Commonwealth requesting that all of the land be divided up in equal shares with the remaining members of the Chernhock and Ottawa tribe. Because during that time, as you are aware, the land was communal property. It belonged to everybody. So they said that he went away, William Bozeman, had changed his name to William Bozeman, and got this beautiful legal education and came back. He didn't go into cotton picking where. Because when you pull the Free Negro and Mulatto census in the Library of Virginia, his name is the first name on the list. Because what had happened what has happened, Walter Pleca wasn't really the first one that started this genocide for Native people. It was also started here in Southampton County, where they actually took Native people, my people, and other tribes, and characterized them as being colored. I mean, it's amazing, because that's what William Byrd and Alexander Spotswood, Provisional Lieutenant Governor Alexander Spotswood, was pushing. They were pushing Amalgamation to get rid of the Native people so they could get the land. That's what it was all about.
And now, Chief Brown, what I was going to say is now our own people are trying to do the same thing. You know, they're trying to get rid of symbols. They're trying to get rid of names. They're trying to decolonize themselves, which is asinine in my head. Why aren't these people proud? Why aren't these people, you know, proud of the names, proud of the symbols? That's what I don't get. Why are they trying to do back in the 1700s and 1800s of what they're doing
because
now?
Because we allow it. Because we allow it.
Do you realize how much
power First People would have if we were to come together at one body and one force and one power?
That's what I've been preaching
for the last few months. We would have our own. I'm sorry?
I said I've been preaching that for the last few months on the show. This is Anthony. I'm sorry. This is Pat. So I just wanted to chime in and say I've been preaching that for the last few months on the show that, you know, if everyone stood together and came together as one and went against this movement, you would win, you know. But everyone's got to get up and actually do their part and not sit back and cry about it and actually take a little bit of action and make something happen.
Exactly. But the problem is, and I hate to say this, the problem is because of everything that's been done to First People, colonized, put in prison, etc. To some cases, we've been bamboozled, and our minds have been washed that we do not realize the power of one, which consists of many. Okay, that's why the United States Army says the power of one. It's not just one person; it's everybody together with the same mindset, the same focus, the same goal, and Native people are Native people.
Well, yeah,
we're
one unit.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's one unit. It's basically one unit.
Exactly.
That's where the term is. Everyone binds together as one. They become one. They act as one. They move as one. And then the opposition is going to crumble.
Exactly. You're exactly right. But
if we don't realize
that unity is important, we're going to have all kinds of problems. That's why we're having these problems now with our Native symbols being taken away, et cetera, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So if you had one day or 5 minutes with Payday Ray, I don't know if you know him like that or that name of him, what would you say to him? In closed doors, open in public.
Say to whom? Say to whom?
Ray Heilbrunner.
Okay.
He is, I guess, what he calls the owner of the Oneida Nation up there in New York, who's starting this crusade against the Washington Redskins. I never knew that there could be an owner of a tribe. I guess that shocked me. I don't know how you can treat.
Well, they bring in billions of dollars in gambling casino
business.
Money. They bring in billions of dollars in gambling casino money. This is the same entity that pushed and caused women Mary to lose their two fellas, okay? The same nation. The same Iroquois nation, okay, that's owned by this particular person, and it's because of big bucks. And the thing is, they know nothing about the history of my people, and they could care a hoot less about it, you know? They don't know nothing about the history of the people here in Virginia. And they don't care.
How can one person own something, though? That's what I want to know. I've been trying to see how somebody can own a name, a, you know, people, a reservation. I just want to know how somebody can own that.
Well, he probably has a majority of the stocks in the gambling casinos. I mean, the Oneida bring in billions of dollars a year in gambling money, man. They gave $10,000 to the building of the National Museum of American Indian, and so did the Massanutten Pequot in Connecticut. But they're not actually given more than that because they have all this money that comes in, you know?
Right.
I mean, we were there for the grand opening. We were in the grand entry.
Yeah.
You know, 27 of us. Yeah. But what bothers me is that they know nothing about the true walk of Native people. okay, this particular person. He knows nothing about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he can really share the history and the traditions and the culture of the Oneida Nation and why they are who they are and what is their purpose. I mean, it's just crazy.
So if you had 5 minutes with him, what would you say to him?
I would say the first thing you need to do, you need to get involved with the history and understand and learn the ethno-history of First People outside of Canada. That's what you need to do. And once you did that, you would understand the walk of Native people in this area, because evidently it's clear you do not understand that. And you will understand the pride that we have and the ownership that we take in our pride about those symbols and stuff that are germane to our native walk,
mm-hmm.
and our native purpose and our culture and our traditions. It's clearly, if you understand that, then you have no respect for it. But I'm under the impression that you probably don't understand it. That's what I would say.
Man, I would give so much money. I don't know how much money. I would give a lot of money for you, Chief Brown, and for Payday Ray, is what I call him. It may be an insult to him or whatever, but I would give a lot of money for you to stand toe-to-toe and tell him pretty much what you just said on the beating drum, because I think exactly what you said is that he has lost touch with his people and with his ancestors.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, for sure. And it almost appears that
you have to understand. You have to understand. It is economics that's moving this, okay? And there are billions of dollars that's coming in with the gambling casinos with the Oneida. You have to understand that. It's an economic situation which is somewhat forcing this particular issue. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's crazy enough that the Dutch came. It's crazy enough that we traded wampum beads. And the Dutch came here in 1622 with their iron tools, and they start mass producing wampum beads, and our dollar went all the way down to the bottom, you know? So.
Yeah.
And our culture and our traditions.
Did you
have
a question for us?
And our traditions are doing the same thing.
Paso?
Again,
oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, I might be projecting a little bit, but it almost appears that, you know, Oneida Nation, along with Ray Halliburton in charge of it, is sold out to the government, because it almost seemed like what happened back in the 1700s, that they want to eradicate or just erase the existence of the Native culture, and he seems like he may be in bed with the government, and it may be over the land, and maybe over tax reasons, but there's something bigger there than this Native American trying to do away with symbols that the majority of Natives feel that give off a sense of pride and dignity. And just like me, I'm not Native, I'm Italian, but me looking at these symbols of the sports teams and the names and everything, I look at it as a sense of pride and dignity. I've never once thought of it as being derogatory in any sense, and I couldn't see that him in his right mind, excuse me, that he actually believes that himself.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what his agenda is, but it's clearly that it's hidden.
Yes. I agree with you 100%. Now, Chief, are there any Native American symbols in the mainstream sports world today that you don't care for, or do you feel that all of them represent Native Americans properly?
I think all of them represent the traditions and culture of First American people, of Native Americans, from my perspective.
Perfect. That's
I don't know of any.
And that kind of coming from you is awesome.
What it's doing is keeping our people alive.
Yeah.
That's what it's doing.
Exactly.
Okay? It's keeping us alive. It's keeping us in the front run of the vegan society, so people know who we are.
Yeah,
I mean, we're it's like they're trying to push us under a rug. You take all the way our symbols and stuff; they're pushing us under a rug. Like I said, you take away our history, you take away our traditions, you take away our language, you take away our culture. And what they're doing, they're trying to take away our history so they can take away our traditions. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. You speak the truth, and I wish that there were more Chiefs that would come forward like you have against this opposition out there. I wish there were more.
Yeah, I had a Channel 6 out of Richmond. They had interviewed me the first time when I went on the circuit trying to protect William & Mary and trying to keep the two feathers. After all, my daughter went there. And then when Obama came out and said that he found the name Redskin offensive, they had called me. I invited them out to our sacred village and walked them through, gave them the tour, shared the history, and they interviewed me. Point blank said that I have no problem with the name Redskin because it reflects our history. But, however, I do have a problem. I have a problem with my president, our President Obama, that he would say he found the name Redskin offensive because he doesn't know the history.
Well, who is he to
but
say?
What I find offensive is this, is that he is the President of the United States, and he has done nothing to federal recognize the Virginia tribes. And we had first ethnohistoric contact with the colonials. Were it not for us, they would have not survived. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Stone cold right there, ladies and gentlemen. I wish that there was more that the beating drum could do to get the more Virginia tribes noted, in the 167 tribes that are recognized by the United States government. I don't know if it has to deal with dollars and cents. I don't know if it has to deal with numbers of the people in the tribes, but there definitely needs to be something done for these particular tribes and reservations that are not nationally recognized.
Exactly. But look, let me personally thank you. I'm going to have to sign off in a few minutes. Let me personally
definitely.
Thank you for having me on the beating drum. And let me personally thank NIGA for the support that they're giving of our Palisade Village to try to have that restored. And it was a great honor to go to the Redskin Pride Caucus in Richmond, Virginia, about a month or so ago. I got a chance to sit down and talk with the president of the Redskins, George Allen's brother, who was a personal friend of mine. He and his wife, Susan, and a couple of other senators, Chap Peterson, kind of took me around, et cetera. Got a chance to spread the word about the Native American Guardians Association, NIGA. And I think we made a lot of progress there in trying to get the word out. I think it would be great. I think one of the things they're trying to do is get the Redskins to Virginia. It would be great if they came here to Virginia. But the name does not need to go away. It is a reflection of us, not a reflection of the colonials, not a reflection of Caucasian people, not a reflection of the Hispanic, not a reflection of African Americans. It is a reflection of first people. We are first people in this country. It's us. So why do you want to take that away from us? But again, I want to thank you so very much for having me on the beating drum, and I hope that it would be nice to try to have a roundtable conference with some of the powers to be that are pushing to try to do away with the name Redskins and try to get away with all these other symbols that are relevant to our native pride and to our walk and to our traditions and our culture. It really would.
I would love that myself, Chief Brown. But it seems like the people that are against the name, they only like to do it behind closed doors. They don't like to come out in public. There are a few public figures. But I think if that did happen, there'd just be a bunch of name-calling, and it wouldn't be very professional for the dealings that the beating drum has dealt with the not-your-mascot people.
I understand. But I want to personally thank you for having me on board.
No,
I'm going to have to sign off in a few minutes.
Definitely.
But it's really been great. I want to personally extend the invitation to our two powwows. We have them each year, always the fourth Saturday of July, the Green Corn Dance Powwow and the Corn Harvest Powwow, which is the Corn Dance Powwow, which takes place the second weekend of November with a preceding Friday, which is our school day. If you get a chance to come to Virginia, please call me. We can sit down and break bread together. I can take you down to my farm. We can go walking or whatever. I can take you out to our tribal land. We have beautiful walking and riding trails. We have a beautiful powwow ground with the seven carved spirit poles that stand 7-8 feet tall. which is really a facsimile of those poles that were painted by John White during the Lost Colony. We had a person to actually carve those out of cedar trees. It was really beautiful. And get a chance to dance our circle and listen to the beat of the heartbeat of the drum as they sound out the walk and the pride that we have at First Americans here in Virginia. Now, we have no words for I. In our Iroquois tongue, we say Ia, which means I walk, okay?
Ia?
So, Ia means I walk in our native tongue. But again, I want to thank you so very much for having me on the Beating Drum. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to express my opinion in my voice.
I believe I talked to you. You know, I have talked to you before. I call everyone sir. So if it made you uncomfortable, I apologize.
No, it doesn't make me. You can call me Chief. You can call me Walt. You can call me Red Hawk. Or you can call me Colonel. Right. It doesn't matter.
All right. I just always like to say that after. It was definitely a honor to have you on the Beating Drum. Chief Brown, and hopefully Paso and myself can come out there for one of these two powwows, break bread.
Please
with you.
Do that.
And it would definitely be an honor, sir. And thank you so much.
If you decide to come this way, I will put you up in a hotel. Don't worry about any kind of fees, anything, okay?
Wow. We appreciate it, sir. Appreciate it.
I just can't pay your plane ticket. Yeah, bus and a train is a different story.
Right. Right. Chief.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. And thank you very much. I'm going to sign off,
sir.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah, sir.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, Paso. That was just amazing. What more to say about Chief Brown? He is a phenomenal man. It stands for what's right in America.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he was a great guest, and he's got very good insights. There's something going on with my voice today, coughing a lot and everything. But, yeah, I could have listened to him for 3 hours. I'd love to make it to one of those spot powwows.
Oh, most definitely. So, Paso, I know that this interview definitely went a little bit longer, but I'm sure you have a phenomenal song for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't pick out the songs here on the Beating Drum, so I'm going to put everything that Paso plays on the Beating Drum is from him. So if you don't like it, you can definitely email him at Paso, which is P-A-S-S-O, at radioafs.com if you don't like something. You know, his hate mail box is shrinking, so definitely give him a email and say it's from Farmer.
There you go. And with that,
and we'll be right back.
This week's song.
There you go, Paso. Let's do it. Welcome back to the Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com. Epic, epic song, Paso. I don't think you're gonna get much hate mail for some nice Guns N' Roses, bro.
No, Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses, whatever.
Bon Jovi,
no,
Guns N' Roses.
I agree.
They all sound the same. 80s rock bands, they all sounded the same.
Right? I love that song. That's one of my favorite Bon Jovi songs, actually.
Right, right. Not Guns N' Roses, Bon Jovi. Like I said, yeah, it could have been Whitesnake, and I would have called it Bon Jovi. But, you know, Pat,
right?
we have our new social media director. He kind of chimed in the beginning of the show. I'm going to bring him back on. Steve, you know, hop in the big old chair over here and chop it up with Paso and I. You know, welcome again to the Beating Drum team as our social media director. It's a big word with no pay. I apologize about the pay. I will send you some wheat. I will send you some wheat from my farm so you can make bread. And hopefully you have a bread maker and you can change the kernels of wheat into flour so you can make the bread. If not, I'm sorry.
I don't. I don't. So, you suck.
What's going on,
Brian?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm just hanging out. Was really, really enjoying having Chief Brown on. That was such a moving testimony to the efforts of our fight and what we're trying to accomplish here.
You know, I did a pre-show video. I kind of bursted the bubble a little bit. Maybe people didn't listen to it. But we're coming up on the five-minute mark left of the show. What has the new social media director brought to the Beating Drum next week?
Hopefully a good-looking smile.
There you go.
No.
Wait,
next week,
Paso,
we're looking at...
Paso, you best not be on our banner because I won't do it, man. I will not do that.
Of course, you know, I got to put my face everywhere.
I know you do. Sorry, Steve. You know,
tell me, man.
What's going on next week?
So next week we have potentially, hopefully, if everything lines up well, we'll have a guy from the Keep the Chief campaign. That's a page community organization that's on Facebook that is dedicated to preserving the Cleveland Indians symbol, Chief Wahoo, who's been around since 1915. A lot of people right now are opposing this and wanting it taken away, and it's very clear what has happened. The Redskins refused to go down. They fought, they pushed back. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals sided with the Redskins that they didn't have to change their name, so now the PC name changers are moving on to something else. They're now targeting the Cleveland Indians. They're the next site to be taken down. So there's some people coming together, and we're going to hopefully have this this very wonderful gentleman on next week to talk about the history of this organization and the history of the Chief Wahoo, and hopefully raise some support and some awareness that this is another one that does not need to be changed.
Right. And this one definitely holds something very near and dear to your heart, right?
It does. I've born and bred to be a Cleveland Indians fan. I've been a fan since I was taking my first steps.
Right.
My father was a Cleveland Indians fan, and I was raised that way. And one of the things that my father told me was, you respect this team, you respect the symbol, you respect the heritage and the legacy of this team and what it means. And I took that to
Wait
heart.
A minute. Are,
you know?
Are you telling me you were educated?
I'm very educated. I mean,
Look
as educated
that.
As I can afford to be.
This person got educated about this particular Native American symbol team, such as the Cleveland Indians. If we had more people that were educated about these particular teams and these particular symbols and logos or however you want to say it, if you were educated about the first people of this country, maybe you wouldn't take offense to these particular symbols. Right, Steve?
Correct. Absolutely,
yeah.
All the way.
Yeah. I hear you. Paso, what you got, my man?
No, I totally agree. I mean, people need to educate themselves. Just like Chief Brown was saying, you know, the majority of these Native Americans do not know the culture, the history, and how things happened. And so, I mean, how could you stand and judge? And the thing that was funny, and I didn't want to cut him off, you know, when he was talking about President Obama And I don't want to turn this into a political thing, but I mean,
Paso,
who
careful.
Is
careful, Paso?
Who
careful.
Is who is President Obama to come out and say that the term "right skin" is racist? I mean, really, he does realize he's not Native American, right? That he's gonna put that, lay that down as a general statement, speaking on behalf of all Native Americans. Like even me, I don't look at it as offensive or racist, but I always point out I'm not Native American, so I'd like to hear it from them, and I'm not trying to speak for them. I'm standing with the majority of the Native Americans that have teamed up with us, and we see the numbers, so we're basically a mouthpiece for them, which you happen to be Native. I'm not, but that's my point. Where does he get off saying that it's racist? he didn't. He might be Native American. He never produced his birth certificate, so we don't know what he is. So, I just had to throw that
Apple's
out there.
Apple's hate mail is now just being full. I can feel it coming right now. I was waiting for it, Paso. You know, you were in the clear until you brought up that one.
Did you guys hear that noise that just happened? Did you just hear what just happened? That was Paso not walking on eggshells.
Right? No.
That is the Paso
from the Paso Garage, ladies and gentlemen. And you can check out the Paso Garage on Tuesdays at 6:30. Wow, I'm just tongue-tied tonight. I don't know what's going on. 6:30 West Coast time. And then that would be 9:30 on the East Coast, and then everywhere in the middle. Check us out. We talk everything sports. Every now and then we do bring up the Cleveland Indians. We bring up the Washington Redhawks, the Chicago Blackhawks, and other Native American teams. The University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux right now are playing for a chance at the national championship. Good luck to the University of North Dakota. Paso, do you have any for in closing? Because it's that time. Time flies here on the Beating Drum.
Yes, it does. The only thing I really have in closing, aside from my norm, I do have to ask you if you call the Redskins the Redhawks, or were my ears playing a trick on me just a few seconds ago?
You did.
Ago.
Did I?
Did I?
You did.
That's what I thought.
You said the Washington Redhawks.
Washington Redhawks.
I just, you know, whenever you give me a chance
to
bust your
chops, he's so inundated. He's so inundated with the Hawks in his brain from up in North Dakota. He can't get it off his mind. It's on his frontal lobe.
Yeah. He got brain in his brain.
Go on now, everybody. Stay with us. Stay with us.
Do forever.
There it is.
Do forever.
Sorry, I had to.
But yeah,
I
got Brandon in his brain.
I can feel the booze.
Yeah, you know, like, right? But like I was mentioning,
Boo Birds are out.
Yeah. Yep. But with Chief Brown is basically, you know, people, you got to take a stand. You got to stand for something. And like was pointed out, there's so many Native Americans that if you stood together and acted as one, and you confronted this battle head on, it would go away really fast. Trust me. But all it takes, it's going to take some action from everyone here listening and all of the Native American, you know, population across the nation to actually unite, stand together, take that first step, and shut this machine down once and for all.
Truth.
You know, Paso, I couldn't agree with you more. Steve, this is, you know, you know the rope-a-dope here. What do you have in closing? And I know I just got a text message from Radio AFS saying, guys, TikTok, and I sent them back, it's the Beating Drum. Leave us alone. So, Steve, what you got?
I'll make mine quick. I just want to say thanks to Chief Brown for coming on. Thanks to you guys for letting me be a part of this. I'm enjoying every minute of it. Look forward to every show, every Thursday, and I'm definitely looking forward to next week. I would encourage all of our listeners to go to Facebook, look up the Beating Drum. We have two polls on there right now. One is for the Native American sports imagery. Is it offensive? Do you find it offensive? Yes or no? Please vote. We need the information. We need people to step up and be heard. Don't just look at it and pass it over. It just takes two clicks and your vote is recorded. The other one is for the Cleveland Indians logo. Do you find it offensive? If so, why? Let us hear. If you don't speak up, you can't be heard. This is your outlet. Speak up. Put your voice out there.
Hey, there it is. You know, It's glad to have you here aboard, Steve, and congratulations on your promotion without pay. You know, it's kind of the American way. You know, you work really hard for no money. Anyway, again, you know, bad tangent. I apologize. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a phenomenal show. We had a Chief Brown on our show, a Native American who has no issues with any Native imagery in mainstream America. That should say huge numbers. I wish every single other chief out there in mainstream America would actually stand up and say, why are you trying to take away my people? Why are you trying to take away my pride? Why are you trying to erase me? Why? Why are you doing this? Is it because you want my land? Is it because you don't want to do whatever the peace treaties say that you need to do? Is that why you want to erase us? Is that why you want to eradicate us? Is that why you want to do everything that Payday Ray and the Not Your Mascot people want you to do? To all my Native brothers and sisters, we need you to rise up. We need you to stand up. You are the voice of the people. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of what your peers will say. Educate your peers. Educate your elders. Have your elders educate you on your history. Because if you have history, you have knowledge. With knowledge, you have power. And with that power, you can say, I will never back down.
Let's go. It's NDM, baby. Yeah, until the end, baby. Yeah, you know what it is. Yeah, now bang the drum like boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. Now bang the drum like boom. In this motherfucker, scalping tracks, make them bang, dropping on them suckers, swerving lanes, doing things, cause a fucking ruckus. It's Blackfoot, yeah, stomping in my black tuckers. It's in the end, baby, you know we be dropping noise. Throw it up, this for five star and city boy. When it's alive, when we ride, yeah, we throw it up. We ride on in the end time when they showing up. Burn it up, turn it up when we rolling up. It's in the end, we the bomb, baby, blowing up. Y'all need that ease up. Up in the place now. How about to set it off, tear the fucking place down. They can't do it, how I does it, still a savage mind. Still fly like an eagle with a savage swine. Scalp tracks when I kill them, it's a savage thing. It's LB Savage doing damage, make it bang like boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. Now bang the drum like boom.
Hoes down, native stump. Make them say those fucking Indians happy for the moment. Cause me, my family.